Thank you, Father, for this privilege and honor of ministering your word. And I understand that within myself I can do nothing, but through Christ Jesus, my Lord, I can do all things. Therefore, I rest in him today. And when it's all said and done, we're going to give him the glory, the honor for it all. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I want you to turn, if you would, again to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, the 5th chapter. I began here last week, and I want to pick up again. There's a few things that I'm going to review. But there are times in our lives when we are tempted. I haven't given you the verse yet. I just Galatians chapter 5. But there are times in our lives when we're tempted to be discouraged rather than walking in faith. How many of you know God has called us to walk by faith? Amen. Walk by faith. Matter of fact, 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, we walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Hallelujah. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, I'm just going to read to you one verse, and that's verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Now, I'm reading from the New King James Bible, but faith working through love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible tells us that three things abide. In other words, these are things that remain. Faith, hope, and love. And by the way, notice what it says. And the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, and love. And this is found in Corinthians 13. You don't have to go there either. But in Galatians chapter 5, the last part of that says, our faith must work through love. Now, as I told you last week, sometimes things happen that we would prefer that they did not. Sometimes people act in certain ways that we would prefer that they wouldn't act, or say things that we wish they had not said. And Jesus even told us that offenses will come. Offenses will come. Every day that God gives you, gives us, we have an opportunity to win or fail, to win or lose. I can only control what James do. Now, if you offend me in some way, it's up to me how I act or react according to your offense. And so Jesus was teaching his disciples in Matthew chapter 12, and you can turn over there if you'd like, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12. And they was asking him questions, and sometimes they ask him questions because they wanted the answer, and sometimes folk ask him questions because they were trying to trip him up. How many of you know they never did? I say they never did. He always had an answer for whatever question that he was asked. So Jesus was teaching them, and he was teaching them about offense, because you understand that it's always been that way, but especially in the day and time we live in now, folks are easily offended. It's easy to be offended, but it's not easy to release that offense. And people have had some serious issues. Folks can do crazy things, not having a heart at all. I mean, just cruel and mean. But I want you to understand something. Listen to me real good. Regardless what other people do, you make a decision that I'm going to remain free. I'm going to remain free. The Word of God tells us, listen to this, whom the Son sets free is what?
Free
indeed. And I've been ministering along these lines because here's the thing. Listen to me real good here. There's a lot of Christians that have gone to heaven already. You know that. I mean, I'm not telling you anything new, right? There's a lot of Christians that's gone to heaven already. All of us could name some that we know that they're in heaven already. But can I tell you something else? Some of them went there too soon. Some of them went too soon. And I know, you know, when funerals are preached, a lot of times the minister will say, well, you know, God picked this little rose out of his garden because he wanted them up there with him. And so they're with the Lord now. And if they were born again, yes, they were with the Lord. But you can go too soon. I look forward to the day that I'm with the Lord. You hear me? But I don't want to go too soon. Here are some things that can cause you to go too soon. Weights in life. Carrying unnecessary weights. Carrying things that we need to release. And it's weighing us down emotionally. And it's and much of it is affecting us physically. Jesus told us his offenses will come. But we got to do what the Word of God says. Cast those cares over on the Lord. And so we must make a decision. Okay, they did me wrong, but I'm going to do what my Lord and Savior told me to do. I'm going to forgive them, and I'm going to give this thing to Him. And I'm going to pray for him, pray for them, and trust God to work this matter out. Because I've already been told in the book of Romans that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. It may not look good, it may not feel good, it may not sound good, but if we walk in love and refuse to be offended, it's going to work out for our good. It's going to work out for our good. It's going to work out for our good. So you know, Jesus was telling his disciples here in Mark chapter 12, if someone offends you, forgive them. Now, let me back up here. I haven't read it for the sake of time. I'm trying to save some time so I can move on to some other things. But if someone offends you and they are willing to listen to you, then you can have an intelligent conversation. You know, if I offend someone, if I say something that hurts someone, now, you know, if I'm telling you what the Bible says, and if it bothers you, you need to take that up with God. Amen. Because what I'm doing is speaking His word after Him. Right? Amen. But if I say something that is offensive to you, you can come to me and say, listen, that was offensive, what I'm going to do is, first of all, apologize to you and ask your forgiveness, because I'm here to tell you I don't want to offend anybody. I'm talking about James. Now, I know the word of God will step on your toes sometimes, but that's just the truth. You hear me? That's just the truth. But me in my humanness, you follow me, ever do anything or say anything that's offensive, I won't know about it, because guess what? I don't want to offend you. I love you. And I'm going to ask you to forgive me. Amen. Now, if I feel like that I was right by what I said or did, then I'll let you know. Listen, brother, sister, this is the reason I did what I did, or this is the reason I said what I did. But it should all be done in love. Amen? Amen. Faith worketh by what?
Love.
Love or through love. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Are you still here? So, I told you Matthew chapter 12. I spoke wrong. It's Mark chapter 12. Hallelujah. Turn to Mark chapter 12, and I want you to hold your place there at Mark chapter 12. And then I want you to turn to Luke chapter 17. Just stay with me here. Luke chapter 17. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 17 first, and then we'll come back to Mark 12. In verse 1, and we read this last week, so I'll be very brief. Jesus made this statement. He said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come." So at some point in your life, our life, somebody is going to say something or do something that rubs us the wrong way, that will offend us. Now, in verse 3, he says, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him." In other words, let him know, "Listen, brother, this offended me, that, you know, that was wrong. And let's talk about it." And if he see where he or she was wrong, then he repents. And Jesus says what? Forgive him. And so he went on to say, you know, if he continue to do it and repent, you continue to do what? Now, you have to understand and I told you this last week, but the apostles are listening at this, and some of those guys were tough guys. Amen? And they were tough guys. They were hard-working guys. And so, you know, they knew how to get even. You know, they knew how to settle some matters, but it wasn't God's way. And so hearing this, can you imagine? I'd love to have been looking at their faces. When Jesus told them, you know, "You forgive them," what was their response? "Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith." Because they realized, whoa, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. But then Jesus began to teach them how to walk in love. Now, I told you last week, and this is found in Mark chapter 12, which I told you to find, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to tell you a portion of what it says. Jesus was asked the question. He says, what is the first commandment, or the greatest commandment? You know, what is the first commandment? And Jesus' response, I'm sure, surprised all of them when he said this. He says, the first commandment is simply this: love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love God. Love God with all your soul, all your heart, all your mind. God is to be first in everything. Let me say that again. God is to be first in everything. And so he told them to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He said, now that is the first commandment. And then he made the statement. He went on to say, and the second commandment is just like it. You love your neighbor as yourself. You love your neighbor just like you love yourself. Amen. And by the way, it's not a sin to love yourself. It's pride that God doesn't like. But we all need to love ourselves. After all, David said that we have been wonderfully created by God. And we need to love God's creation, even if it's us. Amen. For the glory of God. Not getting stuck on yourself. You follow what I'm saying? You know. But giving God the praise and the glory and honor. So Jesus said you love God first, and then you love your neighbor as yourself. Now he said, if you will do these two commandments, if you will live by these two commandments, you will keep all the rest of the commandments. You'll keep the rest of the commandments. Because you love God. And I told you last week, if you love God and you truly love God, you don't want to do anything that displeases God. Am I right? Yeah. Amen. And you're certainly not going to have any other God before you, because you love God Almighty. Jesus is Father. Heavenly Father. You love Him. And of course, if you love your neighbor, guess what? If you truly love them, then you don't want to do anything to hurt them. And that's the reason. If we do that, we need to quickly apologize. Matter of fact, the Word of God said if you bring your gift to the altar and you find out that your brother or sister has something against you, in other words, you're guilty of something, is it something you need to straighten out, you leave your gift and go get it straight. Listen to me, church. It's important to God that we as a church, and I'm not just talking about this local body here, but I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, certainly includes this local body. It's important to God that we get along together, that we love one another. Why? Because the world will, listen to me, the world, the unbeliever, will know that we belong to Him because of our love. Amen. Hallelujah. Because of our love for one another. Isn't it something? Think about it. I'm going to give you something to think about. Why didn't God just let it be one race around the world, just one race? You know? He could have had it all black, all white, or somewhere in the middle. Everybody same color. And why at it? Why he was at it? Why didn't he make everybody the same height? Same hair color. Why didn't he? Because our God is a diverse God. We see it. We see it in nature. We see it in nature. Hallelujah. I'm just looking around right now to see if anybody's wearing flowers. I don't see any. But usually, sometimes folk wear them to church, but if you look in a flower garden, you're going to see all different color flowers, aren't you? That's what make them beautiful. You hear me? That's what makes them beautiful. It's easy. I suppose it is. Then I may be wrong on this. But it's easy. I believe it's easy to love someone just like you that thinks exactly the way you want them to think, does everything you want them to do. Some of you married people may feel that way about your spouses. I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. But that person is easy to love. But what about the person that thinks a little different than you do? I've heard people, you know, we live here in the South, and I grew up on the farm. And we were very poor, so we ate what we could get to eat, okay? So, you know, I grew up eating some chicken when we could get it. We grew our own chickens. I grew up eating fatback. Some folk don't even know what that is. Don't worry about it if you don't. grew up eating Fatback. Tell you something else I grew up eating. Chitlins. Did anybody throw up? Now, I ate chitlins, but I hope you still love me. You may say, ooh, how could you? Well, first of all, if you don't have any food to eat, you eat chitlins. If you don't have anything else left to eat, don't tell me you're going to starve to death. I don't believe it. But you know what? Don't judge me for eating chitlins. Still love me. Amen. Because you probably eat some stuff that I would never eat. I do have some limits on some things that I'll eat. But I'm not going to judge you because you like chicken. You may eat duck. Some folk eat snakes. No, thank you. But if that's what you like, I'm still going to love you. Amen. Just don't invite me to dinner. God loves differences. So we must learn to love one another. They may not look like us, act like us, but we love them anyway because they were created by God Almighty. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you still here with me? So for the disciples, that was a hard thing. So they asked Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. And so he taught them a lesson in humility. You know, and you can read that whole story in Luke chapter 17. But he used the example of a servant working. And working out in the field, then come home and have to prepare food for their boss or whoever. And he said that their boss don't tell them, sit down and rest a while. No, what the boss wants, I'm ready for my dinner. Prepare my dinner, and then after you prepare my dinner, then you can eat. And Jesus was telling us to have that same attitude when it comes to our relationship with God. We need to see ourselves, we need to love God and be so committed to him that we actually see ourselves as unprofitable servants. Why? Because of all that he has done for us. He's done so much for us. Amen. Amen. I would be nothing without him. Amen. Amen. And through him, I can conquer anything. Notice I said through him. And that means all offense. Whatever comes my way, I can conquer it. Because the Bible tells us he has made us what? Say it loud. He has made us more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We have to have the mindset through the word of God that I am not going to allow this to defeat me. I'm not going to allow what they say. I'm not going to allow what they do to defeat me. I am going to love them. I am going to obey what God says to do. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, fight the good fight of faith. I said, fight the good fight of faith. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6. Hallelujah. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Doesn't matter what you face in life. Fight the good fight of faith. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, I may come back to 1 Timothy chapter 6, but I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. Second Timothy chapter 4. Remember I told you to fight the good fight of faith? Doesn't matter what you face in life, you fight the good fight of faith. You make a decision that it doesn't matter what comes down the pipe. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to trust God, and God's going to lead me right out of this because I have the victory over it already. You declare the victory when you see the enemy coming.
Amen.
Amen. I like what the Apostle Paul said. He says, this is verse 7, 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have what?" He did what? He kept the faith. Hallelujah. This is so good. I want to read this to you. You know, the Lord just laid this on my heart. And I want to read this to you. I was focusing on verse 7, but I want to back up to verse 4. Listen real good. This is the word of God. But this is also prophetic. So just listen to it very careful. He says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, you know Timothy was a pastor, right? He said, verse 1. What did I tell you? Okay, I meant chapter 4, verse 1. Hallelujah. He said, "I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." And listen what he told him. Now Timothy was a pastor, but this also applies to all of us, because the Bible tells us that all of us are ministers of reconciliation. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. And you know, this just, I just feel like I just need to cover this with you before we quit. Verse 2 says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season." Let the Lord speak to you on this. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Somebody say amen. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their what? Because of their own desires, our own lust, because, let me reread that, I think I read it wrong. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires or lust, because they have what? Itching ears. They will do what? Say it loud. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears what? Away from the truth and be turned aside to what? Fables. But you be watchful. Now this is for the time we're living in right now. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Now, let's go back to verse 1 of the 4th chapter, and I want to read the first 5 verses to you from the New Living Translation. Put the New Living Translation up for me, please. It says, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he appears to set up his kingdom. Verse 2. Preach the word. If you're a preacher, you need to be preaching the word. If you're a believer, you need to witness and share Jesus with as many people as you can. Amen. Amen? Amen. Let's go back to verse 2. Verse 2. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. That is what I'm endeavoring to do right here in your presence right now. Amen. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
I don't ever want God to have to tell me when I stand before him, son, you didn't tell him what I told you to tell him. Hallelujah. Verse 3, please. For a time is coming. Remember, I told you this is prophetic. It's the word of God, but it is prophetic. For a time is coming. It's already here, folks. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their what? Their what? I'm only going to listen to you, Pastor James, if you're saying what I want to hear, if you're telling me what I want to hear. God never promised us that. But he did promise us he'd tell us the truth.
Amen.
The truth. They will follow their own desires and will look for who?
Teachers.
Teachers who will do what? Wait, whoa, whoa. Read that again. That's what people are looking for. Not everybody, but many folks are looking for. Amen. When you tell them they need to stop living in sin, stop doing certain things, they get upset at you and they say, not coming back to that church anymore. I'm not listening to that preacher anymore. But all he did was tell you the truth. Because we shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? Set us free. Amen. Verse 4. And I know I kind of got off over here, but I know in my heart it's necessary. Verse 4, please. They will do what? Reject the truth and chase after myths. Verse 5. But you should keep a clear mind. Let's leave that up there a minute. I want to say this. And I tremble at the thought. The Bible says that teachers and preachers are going to be judged more harshly than regular folk. Tell you the truth, there is no way that I would stand before you, calling myself a preacher and a pastor, if I didn't know God had called me. Because I don't want to be standing up here yelling at you when I should be out there driving the bus or pushing the broom or cleaning the toilet or maybe witnessing in the streets, whatever. Pastors and teachers are going to have to give an account to God for what they teach. As I look out across this congregation, don't you know something? As I look out across this congregation, I'm looking at people Jesus Christ died for. I'm looking at folk, I'm talking about you, I'm looking at folk that he shed his blood for. I'm looking at folk that if you, sister, was the only one on the earth that needed Jesus, he would have still come. He would have still suffered. He would have still died on the cross. This is not to play with, folks. This is not to play with. But you should keep a clear mind. Me as pastor should keep a clear mind. You don't bite on any and everything. You examine things. You check things out. I got some minister friends now. That were my friends years ago, that some of them have strayed off the path. They've gone after, that got itching ears. Listen to me, I'm only interested in the truth.
That's right. Amen.
You hear me? I'm only interested in the truth. Hallelujah. Let me read on. But you shall keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Y'all still here? I'm getting ready to let you go. Verse 6, please. As for me, this is the Apostle Paul talking. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near, or as it says in the King James, I believe, the time of my departure is at hand. Am I quoting that right? The time of my departure is at hand. Verse 7. Oh, what a testimony. All of us can have that testimony. You don't have to be a preacher. All of us can have that testimony, though. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I didn't quit halfway down the track. I didn't quit 10 feet from the finish line. He said, I have finished the race, and I have remained what? I have remained faithful. Now, I love verse 8. Let's go to verse 8, and we'll quit right there. And now, the prize awaits me. All of us, if we'll do what he just said, there's a prize, there's a crown waiting for us. I don't want to have to go to heaven and I look around and I love you, brother, you know that, don't you? But I don't want to have to look around and you wear my crown because you did what I should have done, but I didn't do it. I got distracted. Hallelujah. That means you'd be wearing mine and yours. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on the day of his return. And the prize is not, y'all want me to read the rest of this?
Yeah.
You sure you want me to read the rest of this? Well, why don't you read it with me on three? One, two, three. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Shout hallelujah. Glory to God. Whew. But in verse 7, as I read before, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Amen. But the Lord just dealt with me to read the whole thing. Don't get distracted. Don't allow offense to control your life. You love Jesus and you love other people. Amen. 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 And just realize you're not perfect either. None of us are. But we pray for one another. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for that word that will never return unto you void. Oh, how we give you glory. May we not live a life of offense. But may we learn to cast all of our cares over on you. May we learn to pray for those that despitefully use us. And may we live a life of faith and of love. Because, Father, you yourself, you're love. And you first loved us. And I thank you for that. Hallelujah. And I want to speak to those that are watching us by way of the live stream. If you have not received Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, I want to extend this invitation to you.